everybody, and welcome again to Divine Manifesting with Christy Whitman and Rebecca Grotto. Hey, Rebecca.
Hey, Christy.
How are you today?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm just right about there, just about as good as it gets. So I'm very excited for today's show. We're going to be talking about the Law of Reflection, which is an amazing law. And before I forget, I want to give all of our listeners the call-in numbers, because we would love to have you call in and speak to us if you have any questions at all. And the number is, for United States, is 877-876-5227. That number again is 877-876-5227. And Canada is 888-815-9756. That number again, 888-815-9756. So as we go along, and you might have some questions or just want to share something or anything you want to call in and ask, we'd be happy to answer. So like I mentioned, we're going to be talking about the Law of Reflection. And the Law of Reflection states that the traits that you respond to in other people is what you have within yourself, both positive and negative. Everything in the universe is a reflection of you. What you'll notice that one person may have certain people in their lives, certain situations, circumstances, but another person will not have those same people. It's because all relationships are a mirror reflection of the relationship that you have with you. I say all the time that your outer reality is a direct reflection about how you feel about yourself. So this includes your relationship with money, as well as all the people, all the circumstances, all the situations in your life. If you have fear or insecurity about money, success, or anyone in your life, then these are reflections of fear and insecurity within your own being. So no matter how, if you're in a relationship, no matter how secure your partner attempts to make you feel or how much money or success you acquire, unless you change your inner feelings of insecurity, you will never feel secure. And we see this a lot in relationships. Do you want to comment on that, Rebecca?
Absolutely. Well, I know years and years ago when I was interning, I interned to collect my hours for my marriage and family therapist license at a drug and alcohol agency. And I really learned back then that, you know, so many people actually put out an intention. You know, maybe there's those children of alcoholics who are now adults, and they say, you know, I have this intention that I will never attract, I will never marry an alcoholic because of what I went through in my childhood. And yet I would see them when they were working on their third relationship, their third marriage, to an alcoholic. And it was like, where did you find them? Did you actually go to the bar to seek these people out? And they were like, no, I found, you know, husband number one at church, husband number two in bingo. And, you know, and it was like they went far, the farthest they could, you know, go to the bar to seek these guys out, and yet they were like magnets to them. And that principle applies, you know, no matter what they wanted in their life, what was within them was the, you know, like you said, that magnet, that polar opposite attraction that was literally, you know, just sucking in every alcoholic within 15 yards of them and saying, hey, here I am, marry me, find me. And they were like, you know, yes, I find you so attractive. So I think that is that's the principle of the Law of Reflection, right?
Absolutely. You nailed it. I mean, it's kind of like what I like to say, you know, to my coaching clients is, you know, you can keep switching jobs and jobs and jobs. You can go from man to man to man. Thing is, you take yourself with you. So you're going to be attracting the same person, the same kind of bosses to you, the same kind of situations, unless you do the inner work yourself. And, you know, I am amazed at certain times. I love the Law of Reflection because I love it when I see something kind of funky going on outside of me, when, you know, I really recognize within someone else where they're pushing my buttons, or a situation happens where someone's being really critical of me, or just doing the, you know, never good enough kind of thing with me. It's a perfect opportunity for me to say, stop, okay, where am I doing that within myself? And I've healed so much within myself from doing that, from really utilizing people in my outer reality to say, okay, where within myself am I doing that? Where am I resisting this type of quality that I have within myself, that I'm resisting it in this other person? And there's a lot of different ways that you can demonstrate this law. And before I get going on that, did you want to comment?
Yeah, I really want to say that, you know, the first thing, though, is we really have to take responsibility. And we say this over and over on this show, but I think that's because we really mean it over and over again.
We're not lying.
We need to move from victim to taking, you know, clear responsibility for yourself. And if you're going to use other people in your life as mirrors to your soul, mirror to your stuff, you know, mirror as reflections back to you of what you're doing, what you have within you, then you have to take responsibility that they're not just doing, they didn't just show up and do it to you. You didn't just fall upon the only guy in town that's an alcoholic or a drug addict or an abuser or a, you know, you're not just tripping over this stuff, oh, coincidentally. You know, these people are literally showing up in your life to show you what is there and what needs to be released. And I think it goes, the good news, Christy, is don't you feel that that reflection goes both ways? It's not just all the stuff that needs to be released. How about those times where you realize, oh my gosh, I have such incredible people around me.
Go ahead.
No.
I was going to say, because the first way is that this law can be demonstrated, and that was, I mean, we couldn't have even planned that. That was just a beautiful segue, is that which you admire in others, you recognize that exists within yourself. So when you're noticing wonderful qualities in another person, it's because you, too, truly have those qualities. And it's like Rebecca said, I mean, I feel so blessed because I have Rebecca in my life. You know, when I look at Frederick and think about how amazing he is,
Go back to Rebecca. You glossed over Rebecca. Wait. I'm back at you, Christy.
She's got her tiara, Rebecca.
I have you in my life.
No, but I mean, really, I look at Rebecca and think, wow, I mean, she's just such an amazing, amazing woman, and she's an amazing goddess and an amazing teacher and healer. And, you know, and I think, well, you know, she's very selective about the people that she has in her life, and I happen to be one of them. So, you know what? I must be pretty damn fantastic myself.
And it's
not coming from a conceited place. It's coming from a place that, you know, it's really an opportunity to recognize that I'm that amazing because I have and attracted these amazing people in my life.
And, Christian, if I can just say something about that. First of all, you really are. And secondly, I think that where competition comes up in a lot of women is they look at another woman and they go, wow. You know, the first inclination is to feel, wow, she's so beautiful, or she's so smart, or she's so capable. And if we could recognize at that point, before we shift into any other thoughts, that if I see that in you, mm-hmm. if I can recognize all those qualities in you, there must be something in me that is capable of recognizing them, and therefore they have to be within me. But I think what we end up doing is we say, she's that, so therefore I'm not. And I think that is furthest from the truth. If we're seeing something in another human being, and it's reflected, it's showing up as a mirror around us, then that must mean that is within us. And so there's no need to compete. There's no need to feel, you know, denigrated or diminished. You know, we should actually be feeling validated. Because like you said, Christy, you know, you could either feel diminished by, wow, Rebecca's so amazing, or she just said something really smart, gosh. But instead, when you use that as an opportunity to say, wow, she's my best friend, you know, she's in her life and she's in mine, that's an opportunity to validate yourself. And so, you know, it almost like I can feel where you're going. It trains us to start cultivating the beauty in others and not to go to a competitive place, but to go to a place of validation, great
Absolutely.
And profound validation.
Absolutely. I remember this really hitting me when I was on an Abraham cruise about a year and a half ago, and I met this amazing goddess. I mean, she is just the absolute symbol of a goddess. Her name was Milena, and she was just so beautiful, and she's still a very dear friend of mine. And she was just, I mean, she literally is in her 50s, and she looks like she's in her late 30s. I mean, she just had this beautiful, youthful look about her. I mean, her figure was amazing, the way she carried herself. I mean, she was just elegance and grace. I mean, just personified. And I remember there was a bunch of us dancing on the dance floor, and I looked over at her, and I was like, oh. I mean, I was just awed in her presence because she was so much this beautiful, gorgeous goddess. And I'm like, you know what? It's what I can recognize within her that I, too, have it. It's not like what you were saying. I didn't have to go into competition with her or feel like, oh, I'm so not that because she is. Because I recognize that within her, I was able to say, I'm recognizing those qualities in her, therefore those qualities are also within me. And when that happened, not from an egotistical, from an arrogant kind of place, but from a true, like, spirit, self-love, expanding space, I, too, became more of a goddess.
Well, that's a perfect story, Christy. And I was just thinking as you were talking, you know, when we use our literal, you know, our real physical mirrors, we don't look in the mirror and see something that we enjoy about ourselves and go, bitch. Who does she think she is? I mean, we recognize that we're looking at the mirror image of ourselves, you know, in that reflection, right? We're not condemning that image, and I think we just need to take it a step out, that when we recognize those qualities that we so appreciate and we admire in another person, it would be the same in energetic terms of looking in a mirror. And you don't condemn those. You go, oh, wonderful. Oh, that's great. I celebrate that because I'm looking then at that quality within myself. And so I think that's interesting to think of it in those terms is, you know, it would be just ludicrous to look in the mirror and, you know, condemn that image, because that image is us. That image is what is within us that we're noticing. But I think that if, you know, we notice what we choose to notice, we can look in the mirror and see, I'm sure that was the next thing you were going to say, can either look at all those qualities we appreciate in a person, or we can look at all the qualities that we, you know, I can't stand, or that light us up, that you know, bug us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly, because the second way is that which you resist and react to strongly in others is sure to be found within yourself. And, you know, I talk a lot about this in my book, Perfect Pictures. It's like those people that you have in your life that push your buttons, no matter what they do, no matter what they say, they seem to upset you, and most of us call them mothers, I think.
Oh, I was just going to say that. No, I was just going to say, I think there's a psychological term for that called husbands.
That's
so funny. We are so in line tonight. That is exactly where I was going, except I was thinking that's called a husband.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I mean, most of us can relate to it with, like, our moms, or, you know, that we have someone in our life that maybe a boss or someone that can, you know, I get that all the time from coaching clients, and it's one of my favorite things to answer is, what do you do when you have these difficult people? I'm like, don't resist them. If you resist it, you know, Neil Donald Walsh, and I think it's a spiritual principle even before Neil Donald Walsh said, is what you resist persists.
Right.
And if you start pushing something away, it's going to persist back. And if you really, you know, I can think of a man that I had in my life a couple years ago, and it was a friend of ours, and no matter what he did, no matter what he said, no matter how he said it, it was like he would just get under my skin and push my buttons. And he was just a very very arrogant person, and he was very, very, very unconscious, and I would judge him so poorly, and I would definitely resist him. And because of that, it was always this struggle and this fight with him, and it was difficult to be around him. But the thing was, is that when I just started to just allow him, and not tolerate, we've talked about that before, but really just allow him to be who he was and recognize it and start to what's the word I'm looking for, embrace that within myself, that I too had those qualities, and kind of look for those places I have those qualities, and then be able to heal them.
Exactly.
He went away.
That was the word I was going to use. It's like use him as a mirror to show you what needed to be healed, because
exactly.
You had a judgment about something
within
him, but it was really a reflection of the judgment you had within yourself.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I have a coaching client right now, and you had said this too, that, you know, it's like it's taking responsibility, and that's what I love so much about all these different laws is that it allows you to truly take responsibility and really be able to heal and change what you want in your life. And, you know, this guy had worked with me months ago, and he had said, you know, I have a difficult situation at work. Whatever I do with my boss, it's never good enough, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, you know, if you want to change that, I have a way for you to change that. And he said, what? And I said, embrace where you're not good enough within yourself. And he went, oh, you're crazy. And I said, okay, but, you know, I know these principles. They work, and, you know, it's kind of one of those things, and he got real, you know, kind of, no, that's not the case. It's his fault. It's his problem. And I thought, well, you know, if you always see it that way, you know, you can always push against it, and you're never going to heal it. And, you know, months later, he had contacted me for a coaching session, and it was the same exact problem. I mean, this is like 6 months later, and said the same thing, that he really needs to find another job because he just can't stand his boss anymore because his boss is doing this, and it's not his fault, it's his boss's fault, and he's just really, really critical, and just whatever he does is never good enough. And I said, hey, you know, Jim, where are you resisting that within yourself? Where are you not good enough within yourself? Where do you hold those feelings within yourself? Christy, that's not it. It's his fault. Okay then. I mean, it's like you can't, when you're blaming somebody else, you can't take responsibility and therefore change it. Because
and
I'll
you
give
can't
you some...
change. That's exactly,
yeah.
That's exactly it. And you can't change. So, you know, and I think the other thing about that, really quick, you know, to just interject this is, when you start to see that things are coming to you in order to be healed, not to make you angry, not to annoy you, not to just get under your skin, but it's showing up for a reason. And if it's showing up, there is a part of you that asked to be healed and said, I'm ready to release this. And so then everything around you gets set up. I can almost hear the universe setting everything up
yeah.
the minute I put an intention out there. And, you know, and years back, I remember thinking the same thing, you know, that all these things about my ex-husband just bugged the, you know, just bugged the bejesus out of me. And I'll tell you what, I felt so like, ha, you know, when I separated from him because I thought, you know, kind of what, you know, clapped my hands together and said, done with that. And then I realized that the universe then put all those qualities in my son. And I remember sitting and saying, oh, you think you are so funny, don't you? You know, it's like, but you asked to be released from these things. And I thought I was so empowered by saying, you know, out with you. I don't need to put up with that. But the universe then has to just set up another person. And sometimes I'll set up 10 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, you know, how quickly are you going to, like you said, embrace this and recognize that it is that boss, that husband, that mother is showing up for a reason to show you where you are less than holy. And we can
absolutely.
Keep getting rid of them and not taking responsibility for the fact that we probably, you know, drew them to ourselves for a really good reason. But it's like, you know, I kept thinking, okay, exactly, how quickly can I get rid of these? They're just going to keep setting these qualities up within me. You know,
absolutely.
The dog's going to have the quality, the neighbor, everybody. And I thought, okay, I can't get rid of my son. I have to work this through. What do I need to embrace? But
absolutely.
Go ahead, you were talking about.
No, it's exactly true. I mean, that's the whole process of manifestation. I mean, whether we're looking at something that we want or what we don't want, you know, we kind of set out a intention, you know, and the universe immediately goes into creating that intention for us. But in order to kind of get up to vibrational alignment with it, it's like there's things that need to be released or blocked or healed or whatever in order to get there. So our resistance to those things are what is keeping us apart from having those things. But it's when we can literally go with the flow, kind of, you know, the images, you know, you put your boat in a stream and you go downstream and you're going with the flow. What most of us do is we try to paddle upstream. You know, it's like we're going against the current. And if we could start just recognizing within ourselves where we are being critical. I mean, I know I had a series of critical bosses, and I thought, well, it's just always the bosses, you know, issues. And when I worked out in the pharmaceutical industry, and when I got that, it's like, you know what, they're a mere reflection of me. It doesn't matter how many jobs I have, no matter how many bosses I have, no matter where I go, I'm taking me with me. And and I was able to finally go, okay, I'm having a critical boss. There's somewhere within me that I'm being critical of myself. And I had to dig deep and figure out where that, even though I worked so hard on myself and done a lot of work on myself and really got rid of that really loud critical voice, there was a very small, still little critical voice in there that was kind of gnawing. It was like a little poodle gnawing at your feet, you know, or gnawing at your ankles. It was still there, and it was still manifesting. And it was still, creating in my life. And so until I got in touch with that part, released that, healed that all of a sudden my bosses weren't there or they didn't have, you know, that critical voice with me anymore. So it's amazing how when like Rebecca said, it's like it's set up. You've asked, and whenever you ask, it's given. But you have to be able to move through the stuff that's being set up for you. And it's the best way to look at it, instead of being like resisting it and thinking, oh, why is this happening to me? It's that, you know that everything in your reality, everything in your universe is set up for you to use it. It's set up for you. Because again, the life situations, circumstances, situations, whatever it is, people that Rebecca has in her life are completely different than the people I have in my life because we're working on different issues. Sometimes they happen to be the same, or we might have different people that reflect the same thing. But, you know, I don't care if you're Jane or Sally or Sue. I mean, you or Tom or Tim, you know, it's like everybody's got their own stuff and their own different people that kind of push those buttons, and it's different for every single person because we have our own outer reality and we have our own stuff that we are trying to heal and move through, move past. And, you know, the universe sets it up perfectly. The universe doesn't make a mistake and sends me the people to, you know, that are not reflective of the lessons that I'm learning. They go to Rebecca, you know.
Right. And I think we can see that because so often somebody will come in and go, oh, my God, I just had the worst experience at this little boutique. Didn't you, you know, this person was so rude to me and they just ignored me and they treated me like dirt, blah, blah, blah. And you'll think to yourself, oh, I was just in that boutique yesterday. I found them lovely.
Mm-hmm.
They were, and they really were. And, you know, it's like, well, why were they different with this other person? And so it's almost like, you know, you can begin to see how it's not just our perceptions of different experiences, and of course that makes a difference. Our, you know, how we go in and see something will certainly color the way that we experience it. But I really truly believe that what you're saying is that the experiences can be very different. For some reason, that salesperson will think, gosh, I was really rude. Why was that? Why did I feel the need to be like that? That's not who I am. But suddenly that came out in the presence of somebody who is attracting that. Or,
absolutely.
You know, so many times, you know, you'll see people where you'll think, didn't you have this great experience? Didn't you go, you know, did you hit that little store? Did you go over here? Did you find that restaurant? No, I never could. I never even found it. I couldn't walk in there. I couldn't see it. You know, and you're thinking, how could you have missed it? And it's, they weren't ready to have that lovely experience. They weren't drawn to that. They weren't drawn to the energy there. They were drawn to the other little hole in the wall that gave them salmonella. They were sick for 3 days. You know, so it's really, again, you know, I hear what you're saying, Christy. It's really looking at, you know, looking in the mirror and wondering what you see. Do you see the goodness in other people? Do you really strive to see the goodness in other people? Or, you know, when somebody's around you, an experience or a person, what is it that you're feeling from them? Is that boss controlling and demanding? Well, what within you is still there that's left over from a parent, or it's left over from the voice in your head that you're saying, you know, that you're telling yourself? What's there that's having it show up in the mirror? Because the mirrors just do not lie. They tell the truth of where we are. And I think, like you said, really when we start growing up as spirits, we start taking responsibility. Instead of breaking the mirror when it's like, what is wrong with that mirror? I look 30 pounds overweight. It's like, well, perhaps it was that cheesecake. You know, we start really taking responsibility for the fact that perhaps I've gained a few pounds. Maybe I really need to look at this, or, you know, whatever that may be in our lives.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to take a quick break and let everybody know the phone numbers again in case you want to call in and speak with us. And the number in the United States is 877-876-5227. That number again is 877. I sound like a radio, or what's called. That number again is 877-876-5227. And in Canada, it's 888-815-9756. Again, 888-815-9756. So while we're waiting for callers to call in, if you'd like to call in, we're going to go ahead and talk about the third way that the law of reflection is expressed. And that is that which you resist and react to in others is something which you are afraid exists within you. And this is a scary part. So it's not only like, you know, noticing when someone's pushing the buttons. It's when we absolutely observe this type of quality, some type of quality in another person, and we ourselves have an emotional reaction to it. We certainly don't want to look at it within ourselves. And my example for this is I know that I used to hate it when my father would express his anger. He would get very, very just raged. It wasn't even anger. It was beyond anger. It was just rage. And he would do these tantrums. And when he would do this, I would just like, oh, you know, I mean, it was just like I couldn't stand to be around him. It was scary, you know, the whole thing. But it was when I realized that I too have that within me, and it brought every time he did it, it brought a huge emotional reaction out of me. And it wasn't until I realized again the whole law of reflection that, and became aware of it within myself, that I was able to change it. But so because I was able to change it and look at this, now when I get angry, I have a healthy way of expressing it instead of blowing up and upsetting and alienating everyone around me like he did. I was able to really just get into a healthy way of expressing anger, because, you know, anger, of course, is an emotion, and we need to express our emotions. We've talked about that on other calls or other shows before, where you just can't hold the anger in because it manifests within your body, so it's important to express these things. But there's healthy ways of doing it. And so,
and anger really is just masking fear.
Yeah.
It's really where we are afraid within, where we're hurt, and then we're just expressing it, you know. It's almost like I feel like we override the deeper feeling of fear or hurt, and we override it and then just express anger.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, even if a person isn't necessarily pushing your buttons, but you have some type of emotional reaction into what they're doing, whether it be good or bad, it's an opportunity for you, again, to look outside of yourself at other people and say, where is this affecting me within me?
Mm-hmm. I see that a lot, Christy, in marriages. You know, I do a lot of marital counseling, and I think that the relationship is a dance. And we definitely attract those husbands, those wives into our lives that are going to reflect those places within us that really need some healing. And I believe that's the soul agreement that we have. I think most people go into marriages expecting it to be really, really easy. I found my soulmate, so nothing is ever going to but get shaken up between us because we so get each other. And the truth is, where's the growth? Where's the learning? If you invited this teacher in, they are there to reflect everything. If they really love you, they're there to reflect everything within you that needs to be released or healed in order for you to be the absolute purest and best spirit you can ever be. But I think that, you know, oftentimes I see people in relationship and they will react with fear or control, or they just overreact and, you know, they withdraw, whatever they do. But really what is deep within is that fear, that feeling of being afraid of something in their partner. And then it provokes them to anger, or it provokes them, you know, a huge reaction. But if you really dig deep, there's a fear within. The reason that you're locked in a huge power struggle with your, you know, spouse or your partner or your child or whoever is because there's something in you that's very afraid. And I often see that in myself. Times I'm very, you know, locked into something with my children, it's because deep down, I'm afraid of something. I'm afraid they're going to get hurt. I'm afraid they're going to, you know, get into stuff that would end up destroying them and destroying me. And, you know, it's like it's that deep and profound fear. But if I can embrace that fear and release it and befriend it, then I realize I don't have to create that in them. I don't have to create the, you know, path of drug abuse or path of acting out or whatever they need to do. I just really need to look within as a parent and go, okay, you know, why am I locked down? What is it that I'm afraid of? I'm afraid they're going to be hurt. I'm afraid it's going to then devastate me. You know, if they're in pain, I'll be in pain. But if I can really manage that within myself and embrace it and heal it, I then do what we talked about last week on the show. I can then allow them their life lessons. I can allow them to be where they are, but I'm also not bound by those feelings within. I'm also free to be who I am, and I don't have to be carrying all of this emotion and fear and resentment and anger within me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So the fourth way of the law of reflection manifests is that, and we kind of touched on this a little bit, but I want to dig deeper on it, is, and we talk about this in our book, The First One of All, and it's all about self-love. And that's my favorite things. I know Rebecca's favorite things to talk about is self-love and how to cultivate it. And we've been talking for the past couple weeks about our Power of Self-Love teleseminar and coaching program that we're going to have coming up in September, and the coaching program is starting in October, which it's just amazing to me that it's already filling up and we haven't even told anybody about it. But it's an amazing program. We can give more details as we get closer on that. But basically, that which you resist within yourself, you would dislike in others. And it's kind of like we kind of touched on that as far as the pushing of the buttons, but it really is all about self-love. When you can realize that you dislike a quality in another person, point that finger back at yourself, because that's a great indication of where we need to develop self-love and self-acceptance. And, you know, like you were just talking about, the, you know, rising above the effects of fear. The fears will be, be reflected in your reactions to other people, like you just said. And once you recognize that everything is a mere reflection of you and your inner world, you can recognize them and change them. And as you let go of the fear, you automatically open up to expressing more unconditional love for yourself and others. There's more space. There's more expansion for that. Because if you're holding on to that fear, there's no room for love. And when you, it's truly a gift to our higher selves when you are feeling in a place of self-love, when you are feeling appreciation for who you are, and really, expanding and getting in touch with that part of you that needs to be healed.
Exactly. Absolutely, Christy. I'm just, as you were talking about that, I was just thinking, you know, that is truly the most powerful. I'm so blessed that you and I are teaching this, because it helps to remind us. I think this is the most important concept that we are all trying to aspire to.
Mm-hmm.
It's to be within ourselves so purely and hold nothing but the purity of who we are, that divinity within, that there is nothing but sheer perfection within us, and everything else is just an illusion. And that's what we're trying to get rid of. I think is it in the Course in Miracles? I remember Marianne Williamson talking about this, that Christ once said, there is nothing within me that you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I have, you have within you. The power I have to do what I do in my life and to be who I am, you have within you. The only difference between you and I is I don't have all that other stuff. You know,
yeah.
So it's really such a clear indication of we have everything within us to be an enlightened, you know, individual, to be a master on this earth. The difference between us and the masters is they just don't have all that other stuff around them. And I think that's the point of what we're talking about. Those reflections in our life become the signposts, the signals that go, you may want to release this. If you're looking at this sign for the umpteenth time in your life, you may want to release control.
Yeah.
If I am your third husband with the same exact issues, you may want to look at this. And so many times we're like, you know, shooting the signpost going, you know, why do those things keep getting in my way? Because they're trying to tell us to get rid of that stuff that is getting in the way of our absolute divinity, of our power. So, yeah, I think that whether it's fear or, like you were saying, you know, disgust, I think a lot of women do that. We look at each other, and the first thing we do is find things to cut down in that other person. Her skirt is too tight. Can you believe she's wearing that? Or, you know, God, she's so fat. Or, there's just so many things women do. And it's almost like when I hear women cutting one another down, the first thing I think of is, wow, how much disgust do you have for yourself?
Mm.
Because when you really, really love yourself, all you're doing is admiring that other person. You're like feeling, you know, that old go-girl expression. You're like, you work it. That is so awesome. You're just shining, you know, or good for you. Look at all the men checking you out. You just are so sexy. You're so beautiful. If when we have that within us, we don't feel the need to tear somebody else down. But if we do, if we feel fear or disgust, then we will feel the need to bring them down a few notches.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's kind of like we've all bought into this lie of competition, where it's like, you know, if she's got all the stuff, or if she's got all the accolades, or all the, you know, all the, if she's shining, then that means that I'm not. It's like a piece of a pie, and if she now has my share, And what most of us don't understand is that we're all connected. I mean, we're all, if one person succeeds, it means another person succeeds. I mean, that's what I absolutely love so much about you, Rebecca, is that, you know, when I do something awesome or have great success in my career or, you know, something wonderful happens in my life, whether personally or, you know, financially or, you know, in my career space, you are just like, oh my God, I'm so happy for you. And I genuinely feel that because you get that it's like my success then means it's your success and we both expand because of it. I'm not taking your place or taking clients or taking this or that from you. I'm not, you know, just because I succeed doesn't mean that, oh, I now suck. You know what I mean? And
yes.
You just are like, oh, that's so great. And you illuminate because of that.
And that takes work. I will tell you, Christy, I think that, you know, there's a lot of that naturally there, but I do think that there are times where my mind wants to go to competition, and I instantly have to remind myself that any door you have opened just simply means there is access now to this new realm because you have opened that door. And that's a different, it really is shifting our mindset from competition to inspiration. And it isn't always easy. I think it wasn't too long ago that I was working on my website, and I know you were light years ahead. You've had your website up and running for years, and I just finally got around to wanting to, you know, work on my website, and you were so generous. You were saying, go to mine, see what I've done, and just, you know, don't reinvent the wheel. And I went to your website, and I remember telling you this story. My first inclination was to just go, oh, my God, it's so awesome. Look at what she's done. I haven't even been there for a while, and what a phenomenal, look at what she's doing. And then I could feel competition creep up, and there was a feeling of, well, now I can't do that because she's doing it. And instantly, because we're writing this book and I knew it, I knew what to look for, I instantly turned that around and said, don't go there. Do not go there. Because she has created something, you know, from a competitive standpoint, my thoughts were telling me, well, then you can't have it. She already took it, so now you can't have it. What I knew to be true, though, was that she's opened this door. Look what she's done. And then that means that because she's done it, it is now in the realm of possibility. I can do it, too. And she has just offered that as a possibility for me. And I think I've told this story before, but it's worth telling that, you know, I have this really good girlfriend, and when her children were little, she was giving her daughter a gymnastics party, and in the center of the room were like 8 little girls, and they were told to climb up this rope, you know, with like a rope ladder, and they, you know, the trainer was saying, see how far you can get. Well, all the little girls started trying, and they got about a third of the way up this, you know, this rope, and then they all sort of made this decision that, well, that's impossible. That's just as far as we can go. And they all went on to another part of the party and were having cake. And she said, my son, who was about 3 years younger, kept staring at that rope. And lo and behold, he sort of, you know, sauntered over there. And before long, he's very athletic, but he climbed to the top and touched the ceiling. And once the girls saw that, they were like, wow, look what Danny's done. They all went running over, and one by one, they now had within themselves, they released the limiting belief, they now saw that it was a possibility and it absolutely could be done, and each one climbed that rope and touched the ceiling. And for me, that's such a story that says, you know, instead of saying, well, now that he's done it, I can't do it. It really, all it does when somebody else has something, they possess something or they've accomplished something, all it's done is make that a possibility in your space. So instead of being put out or angry, we really need to be turning that around and feeling so grateful. And I felt that in my space, Christy. You know, once I could just instantly turn that picture around from competition to inspiration, all I felt just pouring through my heart was deep and profound gratitude to you for all that you were showing me was possible. And you were making it so much easier for me. How blessed am I? You know, and that's a much lovelier feeling to be in than bitterness and resentment, I'll tell you that, you know. So,
absolutely. And you made a great point. I mean, I think it was like I don't know the man's name, but in the 60s there was someone, you know, no one had ever broken the 4-minute mile before. And then all of a sudden, I forget what his name is, but he broke the 4-minute mile, and then literally the later that year, 16 other people broke it.
Yeah.
And, but never before had anybody ever broke it.
It wasn't in the realm of possibility.
Yeah, and so that's where competition, like you had just totally touched on that, instead of going to, oh, well, he did it, now I can't, or, you know, he's taken that away from me, now I have nothing to strive for. Instead, it's wow, if he can do it, I can do it.
Right.
And that's one of my mantras that I always use. If I see an author that, you know, does something amazing and, you know, gets on bestseller lists or whatever it is, like, wow, if she can do it, I can do it,
mm-hmm.
you know, or something
mm-hmm.
happens and whatever it is, it's, and I feel like there's a more of like a mountain in my space. It gives me inspiration to say, wow, if she can do it or he could do it, I can certainly do it.
Right.
And, you know, it truly is. We're here to inspire each other and we're here to, you know, truly expand. You know, Abraham Hicks always talks about how we're on the leading edge of thought. And,
sorry,
hi, Joey.
That's Joey, for anybody who's interested.
That's Rebecca's boyfriend, Joey.
But he really is, and don't you anybody be saying anything against my guy.
yeah, hi, Joey. He just wanted to be heard. He wanted his little voice to be heard.
Yeah,
but
whenever
anyways,
you talk about Abraham Hicks,
yeah,
Joey's little ears
just
perk up.
Yeah, exactly. We're just here to expand, and we're all on the leading edge of thought. And it's like when someone else can create something in their space, it allows you to say, wow, I want to create something just like that, but I want it to be like this, which creates even more of an expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's truly what it is it's about anyways, is that expansion, not only in, you know, material realms and all that, but in the consciousness. So we're expanding as conscious beings.
Right.
And, you know,
the collective consciousness of humanity.
Yeah, absolutely.
You
so
know, Christy, you and I talk
that,
a little. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's okay. As to truly look at another female, or even if it's a male, or, you know, whatever that you have competition with, it's, you know, it allows you to completely see where you can expand in the realm of possibilities that are available to you in your life.
Right. And to validate their contribution, you and I talk in the book about, you know, that image of a relay race. And, you know, we all can't be all segments of the relay race. We can't be the starters, the middle, the finishers, the, you know, it really, if you think about it in terms of humanity, we're all just doing our little part. So we have to take the baton from somebody. They have to be willing to then cheer us on and go, you go, I did the best I could. And then we get the baton, and we have to be willing at some point to pass the baton to somebody else and to say, now go, run, do it. I did my part. Now you do your part. And you have your contribution. And if we see it in that way, then there's just a feeling of feeling blessed rather than feeling, you know, gosh, I didn't get to carry it to the very end, or I didn't get to start. You did your part. So just be grateful and let somebody else, and then they'll come around again and you'll get to grab that baton another time. But it's almost, you know, really enjoying your part in it. But in order to be there, Christy, I think in order to really see the bigger picture and to be so free to let somebody else take that baton and have all the attention on them and the recognition and all the good stuff they're getting from that, I think we need to be able to not have all that other stuff in our space that's preventing us from seeing the truth and preventing us from enjoying our life. And that's why, you know, the law of reflection is such a good law, because until we get rid of all that other stuff, until we can see people around us as reflections and use them as opportunities to change those things we want to change within ourselves, release those things we want to release, and most importantly, you were talking about celebrate those things in ourselves that we really want to celebrate, then we can't see the bigger picture, and all we're left with is just resentment and anger and fear and depression and all of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, so even when you find yourself feeling competitive thoughts with a friend, or, you know, even your mom or your siblings, or, you know, whatever it is, just look at it as an opportunity to say, okay, I'm aware here. I recognize that I'm having these feelings of competition or fear, anger, whatever it is, that resistance that we talk about. I'm not going with the flow. I'm feeling negative emotions within me. I'm feeling envy, whatever it is. And then be able to say, where is it within myself am I feeling this way? Where am I feeling that I'm not enough? Where am I really resisting my own acceptance and self-worth? Where am I resisting the fact that I am and I can create what I want. So whatever it is, you know, look within yourself and recognize that that's an opportunity for you to say, okay, you know, I'm thinking and feeling disempowering in disempowering ways. How can I change this and flip this so that I can then be thinking and feeling in empowering ways? And one of the ways is that when you move into self-love, and we kind of touched on this. I mean, self-love is, I don't care if you're, you know, I do a lot of stuff with suicide victims or people that have passed from suicide, and I do a lot of, like, suicide prevention stuff because my sister committed suicide, you know, 9 years ago. So that's one of the things I speak in high schools and colleges on is, you know, the prevention of suicide and or even the prevention of depression, those type of things. And I don't care what it is, if it's depression, which definitely leads to suicide, or if it's suicide, or if you just mildly feel in pain, or if you're just kind of having negative emotions, if you're wanting to lose weight, if you're wanting to create more money, if you're wanting to, you know, have people in your life that respect you, if you want to create a different partner in your life that you have more of a connection, it all boils down to self-love. That's just basically all it is being able to cultivate and have self-love, because your outer world of form and experiences is a reflection of your inner world of thoughts and feelings, and it all stems from how you feel about yourself. You know, there's a law that says, as above, so below, as within, so without. It is law. And
absolutely. Yeah.
The greater your awareness of your higher self, that presence within you, that's the higher spirit within you, the more that presence fills your consciousness. And that also is law. The more you can get in touch with that part of you that is self-love, because, and we can talk on arrogance versus self-love in a moment, but it's that part of you that is deeply connected to your higher self, that is deeply connected to Source. And when you are in that place, you are 100% completely in alignment with your well-being, with the higher realms. You are going with the flow.
Right.
You want to talk
Doesn't Abraham say the greatest vibrations on this earth are the vibrations of appreciation and love?
Mm-hmm.
Love for others, appreciation for others, but most importantly, the appreciation and the love we have for ourselves. Those are the vibrations that are closest to Source energy that we have on this earth. So I'm thinking those are the vibrations we want to be in
exactly.
order to manifest, in order to be the closest to Source energy. We need to be matching those energies, and not just for everything that is outside of us, because I think women do that. I'll tell you, as a therapist who works with a lot of women, empowering women, that is what women do. They are masters at giving their love away to everything. They will heal the dog house, their neighbors, strangers on the street. They will stop and heal everything around them. But if I ask them, what have you done today to care for yourself? There is not time. I have to get through the to-do list first. And it's like, what? You should be on the top of the list. You should be nurturing and caring and appreciating and taking that time. And I am absolutely guilty of that. I know, Christy, you actually aren't. You are such a teacher of self-love, and you take such good care of yourself. And you've been really somebody in my life who I've looked to and said, oh, my gosh, you just are so good at that. You take time out for the manicures and the pedicures and the facials and the, you know.
No, I just think I'm a princess.
Well, you really are. But
I'm just high maintenance. Nothing.
Yeah, but I also think it's such a great reflection of how you feel about yourself. You take that time. You know, I think that we can joke, but I think you also are very clear that you need to take that time to make sure that you're at the top of your list.
Absolutely.
And so I think something that, you know, I've really worked on in my life, and I try to teach other women, is you need to be at the top of your list. If you're not loving yourself, nobody else will. If you're not appreciating yourself, not only will nobody else not appreciate you, you won't be able to teach other people, namely your children, how to respect and honor and appreciate themselves, because they're looking to you as to how to do that. So I think that is just, it's just so huge that we really, really learn, especially as women, how to do that,
Absolutely.
How to give to ourselves that level of vibration that is the closest vibration to source energy.
Absolutely.
And I think that's exactly our path and purpose on this earth, is to get that vibration so close to it that that's the only thing that's within us. Everything else has just been released.
Absolutely. It's, you know, it's like you and I talk about, is that most women want to know how to create their lives with ease and effortlessness, and we're all trying to create more space and time for ourselves, have more fun, experience more freedom. But the problem is that most of us have such a full life, and we don't have the time to give to ourselves because of all the demands of our families, our friends, our work. So, you know, that's why when we have created the class that we are creating, we're doing a teleseminar in September. It actually is going to be September 13th. And then we're going to have a course that starts on October 4th. And we literally will teach women, and it's just for women, sorry, guys, but we have a very soft spot in our hearts for women. And men need self-love, too, it's for sure, but this particular series we're doing is for women. But we'll teach you how to have more fun and more balance in your life by literally applying these universal laws, using three simple tools that will literally get you back. But you don't even realize it, but the one key ingredient in having all, and I mean all that you desire, and creating it with ease and effortlessness is through self-love. Mm-hmm. But it's like, how do you create self-love? I mean, you know, if you've never played golf before and you had to go out to a golf course and play, would you even know where to start? And, you know, a lot of times you probably need a coach or a teacher or someone to show you how to do it. And, you know, when we're on our radio show, we can talk about these things. It's Rebecca said before, you know, I can tell you all about how to swim and, you know, tell you what's going to happen, what the sensation is going to be like when you actually get in the water. But until you physically get your physical body into the water and start feeling what the sensation is about floating and sinking and all that kind of stuff, can you actually really get it until you get it into your physical body? And that's what we are going to do during this six-week, literally transformational series, because it will be very life-transforming in the series.
And want to say that is, of all the things that I've done in the 25 years as a therapist, the one program, class, concept that I've provided that has made the most profound change in somebody's life has been this topic. And I know, Christy, you and I have refined it, and we've put it in our book, and we've really just, you just brought it right down to, you know, just absolute miracle energy. But it really is so transformative. I really think if there are women listeners out there, you owe it to yourself to go to Christy's website, my website, and really look at this and consider giving this to yourself. And, you know, it really does. There's no other way to say it. Learning to love yourself, learning to value, you know, and I really want to say it goes beyond just valuing yourself and respecting yourself. Don't you feel, Christy, it goes so much deeper than that? It is something from at the core of your soul.
You know
that you are worthy. And it's, I can say as a therapist, it goes beyond the working on yourself from a place of, you know, respecting and valuing. This, what you and I are talking about in our program, is going to the core of your being and turning that switch on and recognizing that, oh my gosh, I am absolutely a divine spark. I am just, you know, a part of this great light called consciousness, and then all the rest falls into place. But you know, I love how you were saying that, Christy. Really, then everything from there just becomes magical.
Yeah,
and you and I have talked about that so many times when we are in that place. I mean, it becomes ridiculous. I was in San Francisco on Friday last week, and I was in that place. I was just feeling amazing. I mean, from the core of my soul, I was feeling so connected to source energy. And, you know, we met my ex-husband, I had my daughter, and he was just giggling because he really gets this. I mean, people were literally jumping out of Jamba Juice to hand us samples. People were coming out of shops to hand us stuff. And, you know, he was like, whatever you're doing, you are just attracting stuff to you. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it was ridiculous. It was so magical. And
absolutely.
I thought, that's what it is. It's like you just, it's, I've heard Wayne Dyer say this, that, you know, it's like he knows how to get so in in alignment with that abundant source energy that is at the point where he's like, how do you turn this stuff off? This is just getting ridiculous. It's coming at me from so many multiple streams that I just, how do you turn this off? And he's like, don't get angry at me. I'm not saying that to, you know, turn you guys off. I'm telling you that when you're in alignment with this energy, it just really, the only word I can say is it just becomes ridiculous. People literally come out of the woodwork to give to you because you're attracting that. You're there. Your vibration is so in love, in tune.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, again, without it, we search for love, validation, approval, you know, reassurance outside of ourselves. And, you know, a lot of us try to get it from other people. We try to please other people. We compare. There's that competition thing. We compare ourselves to other people. We, you know, we look for the recognition from obsession with work or from doing too much to try to prove ourselves good enough. And the result is the same. We're always looking outside of ourselves for something that comes from within, and that is self-love. And so when you're in self-love, you're at peace. You're secure. You're centered. You feel love. You feel successful, and you feel abundant. It literally begins and ends with you. So it's just amazing how simple it is. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of learning it. So Rebecca and I would love to teach you that. Well, I think we've got just a couple more minutes, Rebecca, so we probably should wrap it up. But if you are interested in any of our classes, including the one that's coming up, you can email me, Christy@ChristyWhitman.com, and that's Christy, C-H-R-I-S-T-Y, at ChristyWhitman.com. That, again, is Christy@ChristyWhitman.com, and Rebecca is RebeccaGrado.com.
Yep, R-E-B-E-C-C-A-G-R-A-D-O. And, yeah, I really encourage everybody to visit the websites because I know you have classes. We have our October class coming up. I have classes coming up. I know, Christy, you always have classes. You're just in the middle of your abundance principal class right now. But I think it is. This law of reflection is so important in that it shows us what is there. And I think it shows us all the good stuff that's there, but all the stuff that needs to be released. So we are truly moving from, living from our source energy, our best self. Yeah.
Absolutely. So it's been an honor, and I guess nobody called in today, but that's great. So we you know, Rebecca and I will always more than happy to take up the time. We seem to chitty chat a lot. So thank you all for listening. Appreciate it. And we will talk with you next week at the same time.
Yeah. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Thanks, Christy.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Sometimes she thinks she's strong. Sometimes she thinks she's gone.